Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show that's 15 minutes late, where we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, books, movies, TV, wizards, witches, space witches, swords, dragons, robots, and animated dystopian war zones.
Nice.
My name is Dan Selke, and I am the editor of winterscupping.net or .com, not edu though, don't go there. And I'm here with Daniel Roman, who is also the editor of winterscoming.net, com, etc. And first, we'll apologize for being a bit late here. Sorry, we were experiencing technical difficulties, which happens. Hello, thank you, Chris. We are D&D. We've always been D&D. They stole it from us. And I'll be upfront about it. We were going to have a guest on today who had seen Gladiator 2 early and was going to tell you all about it and whether you should see it and whether it's worth it. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, that guest could not make it. So we cannot give you an inside look at Gladiator 2. However, the other night, I did see the upcoming major motion picture, Wicked. Daniel, do you have your finger up?
Yeah, I want to pause something. I don't know if this is going to show up in the chat, because yes, we were going to have Dom on to talk Gladiator. But since he's not here, I do just want to point out that he did review it on the site.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to drop the link in there. So if you do want to hear his thoughts on it, you can go read his thoughts, because I imagine the things he said would have been some kind of verbalized version of the thoughts he shared there. But yeah. Dan, you were saying something about witches that were perhaps from the West or the East, maybe even the North. You saw the Wicked movie, right? How was it?
I saw the Wicked movie on Monday night, starring Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba, the Witch of the West, to be. And pop star supreme Ariana Grande as Glinda, the future girl to the North. Big movie, lot of press around it. You probably can't go 3 feet in any town, any place in the world without seeing some kind of commercial for it. And I saw it early, and I'm here to give you the inside scoop. And the inside scoop, if we're down to one word, good. And I'll expand.
Nice.
Pretty good. Maybe even really good. Daniel, ooh, I enjoyed this picture. Now, I think that you know some songs from Wicked, but you've never actually seen it. How is that possible? How does that work?
Correct. Well, I went to a music, a college with a very heavy music program. So I knew a lot of theater kids, but there was never any production of Wicked while I was there. I never went out of my way to see Wicked. I have read the book, because Wicked, the stage play, is based on a 30-year-old book by Gregory Maguire. Which is a much darker affair than the musical, I believe. So, yes, I am familiar with the music of Wicked, but I have not seen the show. But you have seen the show, right, Dan? So you have a pretty good basis for comparison here. Do you feel, you know, musical movies are always such a mixed bag? Like, there have been so many that are... I think you said this in your written review of this that's on the site, that so often they, like, are almost afraid to commit to being musicals in the musical movie. So what was your take on Wicked? Like, did it live up to the musical? Did it avoid that problem?
Yeah. If anything, this is the most unashamed movie musical I maybe have ever seen.
Wow.
Barring some like ones from the 60s. Musicals have been a staple of American cinema for many, many years. They had their big glory days in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when I was a much younger man. And then they fell out of favor for a long time. And the story of the modern movie musical is basically people making these movies who either don't like musicals or are afraid the potential audience won't like musicals. And so we've gotten just what at least I have seen as this stream of unsatisfying half measures that have just never really made me happy. I'm going to cite as particular egregious examples that like 2012 Les Misérables movie that had like Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway, some of whom are decent singers.
Yeah.
But they like recorded it all live for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
And none of them are that good. Like there's a mix of like musical theater people and then actors who took a couple of voice lessons. Russell Crowe was famously awful. And just if you want to have a musical, you're gonna need to cast folk who can sing, not just sing, like sing well. And I feel like too many movie musicals in the past 20 odd years just, I think, are too afraid to put a big splashy musical number on screen. They just haven't done it. My other big one that I hated was the Sweeney Todd musical in 2007. I love that show.
Yeah.
And I thought Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter were, again, were very obviously their actors who maybe took a couple of voice lessons, because this requires big booming voices to sell the stuff. And they're like, wait, what's your rush? What's your hurry? You gave me such a fright. I thought it was a ghost. Half a minute. Can't you say? It was awful. I hated it so much. The Nine musical, which is a more obscure one, I didn't like. They messed that thing up. It's weirdly hard to get right, I guess. And I chalk it up to a fear. This Wicked movie, if you've seen the stage show, and a lot of people have, it's very, very famous.
Yes.
I didn't think, yeah, you went to music school. Oh my God. The number of people at your school singing Defying Gravity round the clock, walking around, yes, must have been deafening. And yes, you were there like at the time when it was big.
Correct. Yeah. Definitely. So I did get familiar with a lot of the songs from that. And I agree imagine. With you. You know, the Sweeney Todd is a pretty good example of,
I
wasn't super familiar with Sweeney Todd the musical before I saw the movie, and I went and watched scenes from it after that and was like, oh, this really does sound like a different show, just because they really, it really does feel like a musical that was ashamed to be a musical.
Yes.
And I could see how that just like that would not work for a show like Wicked being translated to film, because I think even more so, you know, Sweeney Todd, to be fair, is Stephen Sondheim, and those songs are very talky. They're very, he's got a very like specific sort of cadence he uses.
Yeah.
Like the Into the Woods movie, not terrible.
I liked that one.
I think that was one of the rare ones that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But Wicked has a lot of like soaring ballads, so I could totally see how it couldn't make that mistake. So it's great to hear that it didn't.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You were particularly salty about the fact that it was split into two movies. Do you still feel that way now that you've seen it?
I don't. Yeah. One thing that the marketing does not tell you, which I do think it's an oversight, is that this movie is called Wicked. It's Wicked Part One. It gets up to like the halfway point of the Broadway show, and then to be continued, to be concluded. I'm sure that when part one subtitle goes up in the theater, some people in the audience are going to be like, "What?" And they will be justified because they have not advertised this.
Of course,
I knew it beforehand, and my objection was, I mean, the show was 2 hours and 40 minutes on Broadway, or on the, I saw it in Chicago years ago. This movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes. How can they stretch one half of the show to that long? It ends up they can, and I didn't really see many places to cut much. I don't know exactly what happened. Maybe just they, like, the rhythm of conversation in a movie is different than it is in a play, because it didn't feel like they were stretching things. It felt like the scenes were playing at the pace they probably should play out at. They adapted very faithfully. If you are a fan of the Wicked show, pretty much every line and every song is accounted for.
Wow.
Which is not enough, because staying too close to an adaptation can also be a detriment. In this case, when you're putting a musical to film, I feel like sticking very close to that is the bold, brave thing that nobody does.
Yeah, agree.
So it really worked for me here. Also, they go all out on the production. It's a gay Fantasia over there. Like, the colors are ridiculous. The costumes are crazy opulent. The CGI talking animals look like CGI talking animals, but you know, you can excuse that.
Yeah.
And again, the heart of it, the two people at the heart of it, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, Elphaba and Glinda, are very, very good singers. And it was just really refreshing to see a movie that fully embraced the fact that it was a musical, that dressed Ariana Grande in the gaudiest, most ridiculous, most like fierce work mama clothes, and just let her belt out to the heavens and have people doing way too elaborate dances around her. There is a corniness to musical theater at times, and I feel like people shy away from that, but there's a reason it's that with some segments of population, musical theater is popular.
Yes.
And I feel like that's the part that people don't like, the part that makes people cringe, but it's also the part that has made the musical endure for many decades. And Wicked's not afraid of it. Wicked will give you the big soaring glory note. It will give you the overwrought, colorful iconography that is like just punching you in the face with how blatantly emotional it is. And it's not going to pull back. I liked it. I feel like we haven't really had that kind of thing in the movies for a while. Unless you go back to like the 1960s and Hello Dolly or something, which is a long time gone.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that it went over well with you, because I know that you had, you know, expectations and anxieties about this movie. And obviously Wicked does have a lot of fans. It's a very, very, very popular musical. So there's, you know, there's good reason for it to exist. And it is nice to see them leaning into it in the marketing, because the last musical I can think of that was not marketed whatsoever as a musical was actually Wonka with Timothée Chalamet.
Oh,
you might not think that was a musical because the marketing made it try to really distance itself. But I saw that with my nieces and was shocked that, like, oh, this is a straight up musical movie. Like, there are songs constantly. He's dancing around in a chocolate factory and throwing chocolate and singing songs. And it was great and it was fun. And I feel like you said, the corniness can be a danger, but if I feel like if the production isn't ashamed of it, it can end up going over well. And that's a really tricky line to walk. So I'm glad to hear that Wicked pulled it off. I have two other questions for you with this. Yeah. One is, how were the sets? Because I heard they planted something crazy like 4 million tulips. And now I just want to know how the sets were.
The sets are insane. The movie, just apart from the music and anything, looks, I mean, it looks wonderful. Again, it looks kind of it probably would cross the line into gaudy for some people because the sets are so huge and the colors are so bright. I think it's kind of, it really embraces, again, that musical, that almost corny earnestness that a lot of musicals have. It's present in the visual design, in the aesthetic, yeah, in the sets. There was at least one song called Dancing Through Life, which I kind of forgotten from the show.
Yeah.
Where the sets were like too much. They're like these bizarre, completely impractical 360 bookcases that like rotate in a room. It didn't make any sense. And they were there, I guess, to, I don't know, give the actor some busyness to attend to while they sing this song I didn't like very much. The sets are wonderful. They're crazy. They're insane. Cool. It's a good movie to look at. And by the way, Chris, yes, I did see Joker 2, which was kind of a musical. And that was an example of one that, like, I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see Joaquin Phoenix like rake his kind of dead squirrel of a voice over the Great American Songbook, trying to croak out a lo-fi version of For Once in My Life. It didn't work. It didn't work for me. This musical, again, cast couldn't sing. They can sing good. And they just let them do it. It worked a lot better. Although you do have to go in with the right attitude. I think Wicked will either be a monster-sized hit that might even revive the musical for a while, or be a complete bomb to such to the degree that it'll kill the genre for another like a couple of decades.
Well, if Wicked can't pull it off, that's a big swing in terms of like musicals to make into a movie. So it is like, if it is a bomb, we might need a break to think about what the next one to try this with is. So I hope it does well. I hope it finds its audience and people like it. And I'm glad to hear that you liked it. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share about Wicked?
Yes. Claude Ransom says, I don't care. And I respect that, Claude. I know that we here at Take the Black talk about sci-fi, fantasy, you know, movies, TV, et cetera, and so forth. Often that's Game of Thrones focused. There isn't much Game of Thrones news to talk about this week. And we thought it'd be fun to talk about Wicked and Gladiator 2. And we talked about Wicked, and we can't talk about Gladiator 2 because Dom Riley, the great writer who wrote up a review on the site, isn't here. But Daniel, do you want to see Gladiator 2? Do you want to see 20 years later the sequel to the movie that won an Oscar and was a big return to the sword and sandal genre, also popular in the 50s and 60s?
So I have to be honest, like, I probably will see Gladiator 2. Like, I love Ridley Scott. I will see most things Ridley Scott makes. However, there's something that Dom said in his review that was kind of my fear with Gladiator 2, which is that it's basically like retreading a lot of the same plot beats of the original Gladiator movie in terms of, you know, young boy taken, even though I say young boy, Maximus was not a young boy when he was taken in as a gladiator, but taken in as a gladiator wants revenge. And it seems like this movie really recycles a lot of those plot beats, and it may still be really good. You know, I'm sure there are going to be some wild set pieces. The whole naval battle one is one that I've been really curious about. I will see it. I am probably more excited for that than Wicked personally, but I gotta be honest, right now I'm really in the TV and book mode because there's a lot of good TV coming out at the moment, which we're going to talk about shortly because I have opinions about some of these shows that are on right now. I am curious about Gladiator 2. I will definitely see it at some point. What about you, Dan? Is that on your list?
Unless someone asked me to go, probably not. Because it does sound like the same movie again. I'm sure I'd enjoy it. I'm just probably not going to go out of my way to see it.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say for the same reason. I'm sure it sounds like a bigger, more elaborate version of the first one. And to be honest, I saw the first one when it came out. I didn't really like it that much. I remember that. I remember going and being like, that was fine. I'm sorry for your English internet. It's not just English. Daniel Roman lives in upstate New York. And for years at a time, he couldn't patch in because there was an owl in a satellite dish or something.
It's true.
That's I also want to, and Robert Harris is a good comment. Says Robert says that he saw that Wicked has a 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. Still won't watch it. I cannot stand musicals. Yeah, musicals are one of those things that's just you either like them or you don't.
Yeah,
and I don't think it was always that way. At least in the U.S., like I said. Back when I was in my 40s, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, they were kind of mainstream.
Yes.
I'm not sure what exactly happened, but at some point along the movie curve, musicals became a thing that you either were a fan of or you just don't get, you can't stand.
Yeah.
Rather than just like a thing everybody watched. One time, little brief Dan sidebar history story. My parents took me and my brothers to see 1776, the musical about the founding of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my brothers, I won't throw them under the bus, was so cringy and creeped out, he just got up and left. Like, so this kind of thing happens.
It does.
Musicals have not been a cultural uniter for many, many years. I don't think Wicked can change that, but I did like watching it as someone who does like musicals.
Yeah, that's funny because I am kind of like right in the middle, like in terms of the you either like them or don't. Like, I could really take or leave them most of the time. Like, one of the first musicals I remember seeing was Newsies, which was a movie. Newsies wasn't even. Did you say you've never seen that?
Never saw it.
It's Christian Bale when he's like a teen, late teenager, paperboy in New York City. And like, that's one of those ones where it's like, it's a musical, but it still feels like a regular movie. So yeah, I will probably see Wicked at some point, but I may wait till it comes out. I will probably see Gladiator in theaters because it is the sort of movie that's probably really made to be seen on a big screen, I think. But yeah, some good stuff coming out. And Martha in the chat, getting excited for Outlander, says we should all binge it.
2 days.
I don't know, Martha. I have seen the first five seasons. I haven't seen the sixth season. I tired of the amount of sexual abuse in Outlander. I will not lie. It reached a point. Outlander uses it the way that a show like Game of Thrones uses battle sequences, where it's like a thing that happens most seasons. That's a big turning point for characters. And it handles it really well, especially the early seasons handled it admirably well. But I just hit a point on season five where I was like, I need to step away. But I'm really excited for everyone who is pumped for Outlander. So I hope that you come tell us what you think of it once season 7 part 2 starts airing this weekend
on Friday. It's coming up. We're definitely going to cover it on winteriscoming.net.com.gov. Rebuvad is going to write our reviews for us. Looking forward to that. We just got screeners. Finally, thank you, stars. I love you. I'll have two things to say to transition to the next bit.
Okay.
I'll say I think you should reverse. I think you should see Wicked and not Gladiator 2, or see them both. I think Wicked is absolutely mentioning the big screen.
Okay.
It's big and bold and bright and huge. But okay. Up to you. Fair. I don't control your life, so far as you know. And next up, Daniel, what are some of the TV shows that you apparently have strong opinions about?
Yeah, so there is a lot of stuff on. Like Martha mentioned, Outlander's coming this weekend. Silo's premiered its first episode. I do love Silo. Silo dropped the first episode of its second season last week. Second episode's coming also on Friday. I am really liking Silo season 2. I've seen ahead a few episodes, and I think people are going to really enjoy it. This week's episode is going to be very different than last week's, because last week's was it was almost a bottle episode all about Rebecca Ferguson's character. And there are a lot of other characters in Silo, and we're going to see some of them this week. So Silo's on. It remains really good. Arcane season 2 on Netflix. Is anyone in the chat? Let me know if you're watching Arcane, because I have been just floored by Arcane. It's in the middle of its second and final season, and it's Netflix is doing this thing that it never does, which they had to fight for, and Netflix said, okay, I guess you can do it because you're Riot Games, you're a video game company, there are reasons to do this, to coordinate with you. They're releasing 3 episodes a week in 3 acts. So Act 2 came out last week, and the animation on this show is just ridiculous. I saw one thing on social media where like one scene was like drawn entirely in charcoal by hand. Like there were stuff in one of the latest episodes where like it looks like fine art, but in an animated series. It is incredible. That show is one of those shows where it's like, and the writing and the characters and the music, all of that's really good. It's one of those things where it's like, this is a work of art, and we are lucky it exists, is my opinion with Arcane. And that sounds flowery and ridiculous, but I am 100% sincere.
Can I tell you something heretical?
Yes.
I'm sure what you're saying is true, and this is just a first impression thing. I've heard from you so much about how great Arcane is, and I put on like a trailer for me and my partner the other night. And we're like, should we watch this? And we were both like, I don't like the way it looks. But that probably is just a first impression. I'm sure once we got into it, it would be, we'd understand.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
I think it was ugly.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. Because so the animation, it is a specific style. But I also have to shout out that Arcane uses a lot of different animation styles throughout the show. That is one of its strengths, is that it tries out different types of animation for different sequences. It is incredibly vibrant. And so I don't think there is a trailer that can really do justice to the full breadth of what that show is. But that's fair. And I will also say the first 3 episodes of the series are almost like a prologue. Like the main characters are kids. Uh-huh. And then the 3rd episode is a gut punch episode, and then they grow up by the 4th episode.
Not going to be the watch it till it gets good guy.
No. The first 3 episodes are great. And it's only the 2 main characters who are like literal children. Like the rest of the cast who are involved in them are adults in the first 3 episodes and in the later episodes. I love Arcane. I'm very psyched for the final 3 episodes of the series coming this weekend. The other show, which I gotta say, I agree with Nicole in the chat, said I was a bit disappointed by the pilot episode of Dune Prophecy. But I'll continue to watch in hopes that it improves as it goes along. I kind of felt that way too. I watched it shortly before the show so that we could talk about it a little bit more today. And I don't know. So you've seen more of it, Dan.
Yes.
Does it get better? Because I thought it was just okay, this pilot episode.
I do think the first episode is the weakest. That's what I thought all the time. In fact, I remember I got like the 4 episodes ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then I watched the first one myself, and I kind of felt like you, like, that was okay. I really did not like those first 15 minutes, especially.
I thought that was, I agree with that.
And then I was kind of a little bit bummed, and I was like, this might be a bit of a stinker. And then I kind of watched it over with my partner, and then we kept watching. And I will say, I am sometimes the guy who says, watch till it gets good. I thought the 2nd episode was better than that. I thought the 3rd episode was better than that. The 4th episode is the best they've done so far. I do think it finds its legs. I like the 1st episode in retrospect, too.
Okay.
But yeah, I do think the 1st episode was the weakest of the 4 that I've seen. I still enjoyed it. I still like the mood. I still like the starkness of the visuals. I like the central performances of Emily Watson and Olivia Williams. I like that we have a bunch of different kind of things going on. I think they all come into their own. I do think the 1st is the weakest of the ones that I've seen, which is unfortunate because you want a strong start.
Yeah, totally.
Although I did like it.
Cool. Okay, so that's fair. I thought it was just okay. I agree with you about the intro. I did not love that it was essentially 15 minutes narration you know, filling in the details of their history and stuff. It just, it wasn't a strong opening, even if it wasn't a terrible one. It wasn't like a, oh my God, this grabs you out by the throat out of the gate.
Like, I agree.
A show like The Penguin, or I will say, it's hard for me to not compare these a little just because both of these shows are on right now. But I think Silo had a better opening episode than Dune Prophecy. And I found myself comparing a little bit because that is a much more focused show. I almost feel like Dune Prophecy has too many characters. Like it's trying, I saw some reviews saying it's trying to a little too hard to be like Game of Thrones. And I don't necessarily jive with that 100% because like we've talked about, like Dune does have great houses and the great house politics, like that does exist in the Dune universe as well. 100%. But I do think this is a mistake Rings of Power made too, in my opinion. The sprawling cast, having a very large cast of characters out of the gate in different places, I think is a trap. Because like a lot of these shows saw the way that Game of Thrones did this with this huge cast. But at the beginning of Game of Thrones, it was much more compact, and most of those characters were in the same place or two. I'm not hooked on Dune Prophecy yet. I will be watching more because it's only six episodes, and I want to see it. And I trust your word that it gets better. I was underwhelmed a little bit by the premiere.
I can already tell you. By the way, Robert, I've got to your question. I think it's giving you the impression that's not really there because I can tell you like. Huge cast, multiple episodes in multiple spaces. There are two places in this show, at least so far. It's
okay.
This might be spoilers, but it's the Jim Penny Gesserit homeworld, and it's the Sluice of Secundus. Like those are the two. So it's not, and there's going between them. I think it's a little more compact than it first seems.
That's probably true.
For me, it will click. I think I definitely get improved as it goes along. And I like the first one, but I think it gets stronger. I hope people stay on to enjoy the strength as it comes.
Me too.
Robert Harris asked if I watched Silo last week. I didn't get a chance. I still really want to. I'm busy.
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, man. Mr. Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
I had to see Wicked. I'm having to rewatch this Dune stuff over and over to review them. I have some interviews tomorrow. Oh, by the way, also, I have a theory about that opening to Dune Prophecy that I will circle back to when we see later episodes.
Oh, interesting.
I think because that opening is so kind of weirdly stitched together, I think some of that stuff was meant for a later episode.
Oh, interesting.
They grafted it onto the front after realizing that maybe we needed more information or something because it was very ungainly. And we'll come back to this after we've seen more and I can talk with more expertise. Maybe I'll ask one of the people involved if that's the case. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. I think my big question that I'm reserving for now, because it's a little too early to really say one way or the other, but I am curious about why they chose to do this Dune story in particular, because one thing that my wife pointed out when we started watching this is it's 10,000 years before the Dune movies.
Sure.
Before the main Dune story. That's a pretty big disconnect. And it is a pretty big disconnect. But this is also not, you know, there are like upwards of 20 Dune books. This is not based on any particular one of them. It's a sequel to one of the Dune books and not a particularly well-renowned book in the Dune canon.
Oh, no.
You know, so I am a little bit like, I wonder what made them choose to do this story and think that this was the thing worth investing in this universe beyond the Paul Atreides Arrakis Dune story. So I'm reserving judgment on that till I see a little bit more, but that is a question I have in the back of my head right now.
I mean, I think you put the word like 10,000 on it and it sounds like it's extremely removed. But also, not really, because like all the groups are the same, technology is the same.
Well, that's a problem, in my opinion.
But
if,
it's not.
If it feels
like,
too similar 10,000 years
the
earlier.
World works.
Well,
like, you just kind of accept it. Like that's the way, you know, it's the question of like, why has Westeros never advanced technologically in hundreds, thousands of years beyond medieval times? And the answer is because George R. R. Martin thinks dragons and horses are fun.
I fully disagree.
Like something we accept.
I fully disagree with this because Valyria was not that long before, you know, Valyria was a fraction of this time. And the technology was wildly different there. So Western, you know, the technological gain there is they had all this very advanced technology and there was a collapse. And now this is the reestablishing of the technology with the Long Night. We've never seen other civilizations like Yeti and what their technology looks like. But in a universe like Dune, if the technology is that similar for 10,000 years, I think that's a world building hole, personally.
I don't know. I think you roll with it. And it's also accurate. I mean, like, that's way Frank Herbert laid it out.
Frank Herbert never, I don't think Frank Herbert wrote a book set that far back, to be fair.
No, he wrote six books. It. He talked about, like, when the Machine Wars happened.
He did. He did. And I think the Machine Wars, that's the thing where I'm like, I wonder why they didn't do that. Because that is kind of the most famous Dune prequel is the Machine Wars.
I mean, I'm guessing because we already have Terminator movies, you know?
Fair. Very fair. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm reserving judgment for now.
We're fighting. I'm going to make you like it.
Very politely.
One. No. Bloody fisticuffs. Anything else you're watching, Dan, or anybody else out there watching?
Not watching, but the other thing I'll just shout out. I started reading this book yesterday, The Last Hour Between Worlds by Melissa Caruso, and it is a lot of fun. It's basically about this magical investigator, new mom, magical investigator, who is trying to have a night out at this New Year's party, except that it falls through dimensions. And she, even though she is trying desperately not to work on this one night, she ends up having to engage in this magical caper sort of story where she's trying to figure out why this entire party full of people is being dragged through dimensions where things are getting stranger and stranger and weirder and weirder. So it's got like some Victorian vibes, a little bit of Doctor Who-ish type vibes with the sort of magic. Lot of fun. That's my decompression light read right now after getting caught up on the Stormlight Archive sample chapters.
Ooh, so, nice.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And I finished The Shadow Rising.
Did you?
The Time Book. Yes.
Nice.
So we can talk about that shortly.
Yes. Yeah, I'm curious what you thought about that.
That's pretty good. What's happening? Man, the gender politics in those books is beyond bizarre to me. But it's all part of the rich tapestry that is Wheel of Time.
Yes.
Should we move on to the WIC News Lightning Round, where we go through a bunch of stories and try to get to the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions on more or less?
Yes, I think that would be a grand idea. Let's do it.
I set this up for three people, and I actually did order them very specifically. So we'll just do it for two and just see what happens.
I love it. Let's do it.
Go ahead and ask me first.
All right. Lady Gaga has joined the cast of Wednesday season two, obviously.
Sure. Why not? Lady Gaga has had hits on screen, A Star is Born, and big fat fails like Joker 2, Folie à Deux. I bet someone like her who likes the creepy and the weird and the strange would fit in Wednesday, where everyone wears black lipstick and dark hair and is ooky and spooky and all that stuff. Sure. Why not?
Nice.
All right, Daniel, did you know that they're making a live action remake of the animated film How to Train Your Dragon? It looks like this.
I'll be honest, I forgot this was happening until they released the trailer. I kind of hate it. I'm going to be a hater for this because the dragons look exactly like they did in the animation. So it really feels like, why did you do this? Like, it's not really doing anything too new, but it should be fun. I love the original movie, so I'll give it a shot. Toothless nice. Looks cute.
Cute.
All right, Dan. Generative AI. Someone made a video with generative AI about Game of Thrones. If it was set in a trailer park, look at this dragon gator and give your 20-second take.
Mostly, I just wanted an excuse to point at the alligator. It's also have dragon wings. I think that's funny.
Ew.
And, generative AI is controversial, but also the dragon gator is funny. So it's not all bad. there are things that can go with this as long as we get a good guardrails on intellectual property rights.
Wait. Hey, Richard, can you put that back up for a second? Because I noticed something and it's disconcerting to me and I'll never be able to live if I don't point it out. This gator, this is why AI is so weird. That gator has a frog leg instead of a tail. That's horrifying. That's a frog foot on the back of that gator. Don't like that. Yep. All right. Anyway, let's carry on.
Don't like that. Oh, it's me. Okay,
yeah, it's your turn.
It's all thrown off. Daniel,
yes.
Game of Thrones star Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa Stark, is officially in talks to play Lara Croft in a live-action Tomb Raider show. It sounds like it's pretty close to a done deal. What do you think?
Apparently, it's just my day to be a hater because I don't particularly like this casting. I love Sophie Turner. I also love Tomb Raider. It's very hard for me to picture her in that role in any sort of iteration of Lara Croft we've seen before. So I will give this a chance when it's made. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is making it, but I'm skeptical.
Fair enough.
All right, Dan, podcaster and Fear Factor host Joe Rogan thinks dragons lived alongside humans. Actually, he said they were like crocodiles with wings, coincidentally enough. Yeah. He does not think House of the Dragon is as good as Game of Thrones.
Joe Rogan is such a fascinating person. He's the biggest podcaster in the world, and he'll alternate between like giving really incendiary, like take ivermectin to cure your COVID, to like, you know what? Out of the House of Dragons goes Game of Thrones, too. Dragons were real. Just what a fascinating figure of the 21st century. We need a biography in this person.
Do we?
Don't forget News Radio cast member. He was funny in News Radio. I like that show. All right, Daniel.
Yes.
This is a story after your own heart. The Predator, the camouflage big game hunting space alien from the movie such as Predator, is going to be the protagonist of the upcoming film The Predator Badlands.
So I don't hate this. I love this, actually. This is so Predator Badlands is the next movie from Dan Trachtenberg, who did Prey, which was incredible. I'm really excited to see this. It's set in the future. It stars Elle Fanning as multiple human characters. So maybe one Elle Fanning likes the Predator, one Elle Fanning wants to kill the Predator, but the Predator is the main character, and that is rad. All right. Dan, I hope I'm going to ask you this question so you can get a drink. Disney, for your cough, I meant for your cough. Sure. Disney has, surprising no one, they've removed a Star Wars movie from their 2026 schedule, which you think is probably the one about Rey. And they replaced it. They replaced it with Ice Age 6. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
Neither do I. At this point, Disney has a long history of starting to make a Star Wars movie and then just not being able to follow through. They have not been able to get anything solid off the ground since The Rise of Skywalker. I don't know what's going on over there. I mean, not that we need another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy. They've started like 10 and like none of them have worked out. Someone should get fired. I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be weird if they didn't keep talking about their new movies. They just went silent, we wouldn't even care.
Right. Well, we probably still get leaks and then whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
And the final one, because I know that you are a fan of this superhero team. Marvel CEO, or I'm not sure what his title is these days, Kevin Feige, the man behind the Marvel Cinematic Universe, says that the whole story of Secret Wars, an upcoming Avengers movie, really leads us into the new age of mutants and the X-Men. Does this finally mean we're going to see the X-Men in the MCU? And are you here for it?
I would be here for the X-Men in the MCU. So that feels right. That feels like what it should be. Secret Wars leading into the X-Men. That's kind of what I've always assumed. It's just a question on the execution. Because, you know, we've been on this Marvel ride for a while and it's had ups and downs.
Yeah, we have.
But I will show up whenever they do release an X-Men movie in 2053.
Great. And you know what? That's our show. I know it was a bit of a strange one. Sorry we were late, but I hope that we helped you. Hope that we helped you decide what to do with your time, what to watch on screens big and small. Help you brighten your day. And if you thought we did any of those things, maybe you can come back next Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 on the East Coast, 1 on the mountains, and noon in California. We talk all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, etc., so forth. We're also available in podcast form. Download us wherever you can find those. YouTube Music, iTunes,
Spotify,
others, Spotify, whatever, just wherever there are things were there. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us your firstborn, and we will see you guys very soon. Good day and good luck.
Take care, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.